Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It is a Patriots Monday. We are down here at Gillette Stadium. Haven't been here in a while.
No, we have not.
There was a variety of reasons, not the That's least true. Of which was the Red Sox were winning a World Series.
I was across the street last night for the NFL Sunday.
Were you? How'd it
yes.
go?
Very good. Very good program. Just me and Fourier. Mutt had the day off.
Oh, yeah. Mutt was down at Mohegan Sun.
Mutt had a very busy weekend.
Talking ponies.
So yes. So he,
even though that happened Saturday.
It's a whole weekend affair, which is understandable.
Yeah,
so that's
gotcha.
Fine. So just me and Fourier breaking down the game. It was very good.
Was
up against the 4 o'clock
all
game.
All that stuff.
It was hot. Yeah, Doug has the shed hot in there. It was hot.
The stuff blaring away.
Yeah, we had no problem.
Now, you are a guy who, you kind of like the whole idea of trash talking.
Yes, I do, very much.
And, you know, dumb stuff.
Excuse me?
In my opinion.
Oh, okay. There it is.
So,
your opinion.
Packers wide receiver Davante Adams told reporters earlier in the week, he didn't feel anyone in the league could cover him.
All right, well.
He was coming into yesterday's game where he had had three straight 100-yard receiving games. And he was feeling pretty confident.
He's solid. I don't think he's in the top 10, but okay.
So Stephon Gilmore said, I didn't like what he said earlier in the week. I kind of took it personal a little bit.
Okay.
He's a good receiver. Had two catches for 15 yards on five targets in the game yesterday.
On what? On Gilmore, you mean? Because in the game, he was better
right.
than that. In the game, he had 40 yards and a touchdown.
Right.
But still,
but against Gilmore.
Against
two
Gilmore,
catches, five targets, 15 yards.
Yeah, Gilmore is.
And he said, nobody can cover me. Well except maybe him.
Gilmore can, and I'm sure there's probably several other guys who can, too. And I think Aaron Rodgers makes his job a lot easier, some of the throws. I mean, the touchdown, even though it's just that little two-yard thing, and it was a nice little route, kind of a little turnaround thing by Adams. But that was really all Rodgers. I mean, he got out of there, he eluded pressure, and then sort of threw it in there in a tight spot. So that was more on him, I think, than anybody else. Adams is good, but he's not great. Like,
no,
he's not one of these guys that can be talking trash and then expecting to be able to back it up
like
every
Julio
time.
Julio Jones, who has one touchdown catch
got,
on the year,
got the
finally.
Big, he got the big touchdown.
Got it yesterday.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, along this line,
yes.
I got to ask you about what you thought about the whole Mike Thomas thing.
Loved it.
Stupid.
Loved it.
Not you, stupid.
Well, you
I
can
mean,
say that. That's
the,
fine.
No,
I have a thick skin. I'm
the,
like Rick Honeycutt.
The,
and Keith Law, that coward.
The whole thing was stupid.
I loved it. Do you didn't like Joe Horn?
So
self-aggrandizing.
Please
homage
stop with
to
that.
Joe
homage.
Horn. Oh, Joe Horn, who's a very underrated wide receiver. People forget about how good Joe Horn was and how good that celebration was. And
I thought it was dumb when Joe Horn did it.
I loved it when Joe Horn did it, as you can imagine. And Michael Thomas had the foresight to probably put a flip phone in both end zones.
Oh, no, he said he went out before the game.
Yeah, smart.
Went and bought two burner flip phones, stuck them in each of the two paddings on the two goalposts.
Incredible.
So
incredible.
At the time he does it,
yes.
It's a 10-point game.
That's right.
So I'll just give up 15 yards.
Because
of
him, it was like a 75-yard gainer.
I'll just give up 15. You think
yeah.
Sean Payton was amused by
Sean
it?
Sean Payton was not amused. I saw him on the sideline.
Think?
He did not seem to be all that thrilled about it. But
what
thought,
do you think this guy would do here?
Belichick?
Oh.
Michael Thomas might miss the first quarter next week. Unless Ian Rapoport reports it, then
and
he
then
would
he
start.
Wouldn't miss anything.
Then he would start. Yeah, he probably didn't like it. Now, the one thing I like about it, well, I like everything about it, but they were winning. They were winning by more than two scores.
They were winning by 10.
They were winning by two scores.
I got you.
Which is
I
what
know.
It is. And so, yeah, they got the ball back. And they still ended up winning by that same score. The Rams never scored after that.
He put himself ahead of everybody else on the sideline.
I think he put Joe Horn above everybody.
No,
he was,
I,
that was a tip
please.
Of the cap to
it
Joe Horn.
It had nothing to do with Joe Horn.
It had everything
this
to do with
all
Joe
about
Horn.
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas.
By the way, is a great receiver.
He's better than Davante Adams.
Oh,
Michael Thomas is
great
awesome.
Receiver.
Yeah,
I mean,
great.
I got no issues with
yeah.
his game.
Yeah.
He just put himself ahead of everybody else on the sideline.
Who do you,
what I'm going to do is more important than the 15 yards I'm going to cost you guys.
Who do you think he called?
He didn't call
anybody. Yeah, he might have called somebody. He was talking to somebody.
No,
who do you think he gave somebody
totally
a holler?
Wasn't. What,
no.
You think he got the thing all connected with the
phone
right press. Service?
Yeah, I think he might
bought
have
the burner phones before he got.
He might have
buy a flip phone nowadays.
Oh, my God. I have no idea where you'd even begin. Maybe like a yard sale?
Maybe.
You guys have flip phones here? They're like, yeah.
So he goes and buys two of them. He sticks them in both and both goalposts.
I love the thought process behind it. So this is what he's doing.
This
he's,
is what I'm worried about.
Yeah,
is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
What it's because it's all about me.
Did you see?
Now
the,
I don't mind the celebration dances. They get a little elaborate. Seahawks
so come,
really.
So my God, what were the Seahawks up to? They were
the like June Taylor
dance.
Dancer
they were
things
incredible.
Going.
But so that takes way more time. So I guess the rule here is you just can't use a prop.
Yes.
Because
and even with the Seahawks thing. There's supposedly a time
those
limit.
Guys took forever.
I know.
They did like, oh,
but
there was, like
really
there was
well
an intermission.
It was Really well done, though. It was well choreographed.
It was very well done.
I think they had Derek Hough, you know, lay it all out for them.
They should have the judges on the side.
Carry
on
a nub.
It's Len. Yeah, right. They could have done that. But so I guess you just can't have a prop because that took less time than most of these other dances that you see guys do. I thought it was hilarious.
You're not supposed
to
go to the ground, although they kind of have eased up on that.
Yeah, that one they got to get rid of. Let the guys have fun. Let them show their personalities. Like I love it. I thought it was great because it used to be T.O., Chad Johnson, and then the occasional Joe Horn. Like that was about it. And then maybe like a defensive player here
Randy
or there.
Moss. Randy Moss did a few.
Randy Moss definitely did a few.
That disgusting. I'm sorry you had to see that.
Oh, my God. Love that moment. Love that moment. No, but even Randy Moss, he would do, like, when he was with the Patriots, he did that little thing, like that little separate in the thing.
Which was good. I like
that.
That
was cool.
That's
but, like,
nice.
He didn't go nuts. Like, T.O. did the popcorn. He did the pom-poms.
The Hall of Fame jacket.
The Hall of Fame. No, that was Ocho Cinco.
Oh, that was Ocho Cinco with the Hall of Fame jacket.
T.O. went to the Dallas Star twice.
And then got drilled.
George T. just crushed him. But that was awesome. So those guys did a lot. Joe Horn out of nowhere. I think that must have been a Sunday or a Monday night because I was watching that game when he did it.
Monday night.
It was a
Monday night
football?
Game.
I thought so. And he pulls the cell phone out. Everyone's like, what is happening right now?
So it was pretty clear, I thought, looking at it, that Sean Payton was not amused. Not happy.
He definitely wasn't.
So what does he do now? Does he pull Michael Thomas in and say, what the hell are you doing here? Don't cost us 15 yards because you want to go out and make it all about you. Don't do that.
That's what he says. But there's no punishment. There's nothing. Michael Thomas is going to play every snap the rest of the way as long as he's healthy. Did you see the ref, too, who just was looking at him and then just dropped the flag like, right by his feet? He was just like, come on. He just like tossed it right at him. He's like, you can't do that. He's like, we let you celebrate now, but you can't do that. And then Troy Aikman was upset about it, and then they just – that was it, but they ended up hanging on, and the Rams lost their first game. And Michael Thomas was a big reason why.
I like the fact that they've kind of eased things a little bit, that they allow, you know, teams to celebrate. They allow that this is the entertainment business. I'm all good with that.
Right.
I don't care about the dancing. I don't care about the one the bowling one. I mean, all this is good. All is good.
Yeah.
The minute you make it about you instead of about everybody else.
But aren't they all about you? Like, well, aren't all the dances about
you? No, like the Seahawks thing where they involve everybody.
But that's the whole team.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of celebrations where it's one guy doing something. That's about them. And I guess my question, I guess, would be, did Michael Thomas know 100% that was a flag?
I think he knew exactly what was going to happen, and he didn't give a damn.
Maybe you're right. Maybe he did.
And that's the problem I have with it.
But I wonder if
he just
thought,
the whole setup in the whole process of buying the burner phones, sticking them in the goalposts, he knew the whole time it was going to cost his team 15 yards. So tell me something. If he had scored to make it 10-10, would he have done it anyway?
No.
I'm not sure of that.
I don't think he would
have. Once you've gone to this much trouble and spent that much money on these two flip phones.
But you can leave them in there. It's your home stadium. You can get them next week. Get them the week after that. Who knows? Maybe they've been in there for 2 weeks.
They do take the pads down every day after every game.
Yeah, but they're do they, though, down there?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay. But so yeah, you have one of your guys run out there, get the phones, and bring them back in and do it the next week. I think like that's, we don't know the answer to that. I mean, maybe Michael Thomas was asked that, and maybe he won't give you a straight answer. I would like to think, especially the timing of it, they go up by 2 scores. I think he thought that was acceptable. I also don't know for sure because he sees everybody celebrating, and maybe he didn't realize about the props. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't really know. I enjoyed it. I got a kick out of it.
So I'll ask you the question. Yes. If he knew, do you think he cared?
Well, again, if he didn't do it when they were losing, and he didn't do it when it was tied.
Well, he had to wait till he scored.
I know, but I mean, who knows how long he's had it planned for, and he's had...
Oh, he said he bought them on the way into the stadium yesterday.
Oh, okay. So he had it just planned for that game. Okay.
I don't believe this, actually.
Which part?
That this is just something he came up with. He's only scored, that's his fourth touchdown at home this year, and the other games were all, they were either losing or it was a tied game. His previous scores were against Tampa Bay. They lost the opener. And then Cleveland, and if you remember that game, it was a tight game. They went into overtime. So he didn't have an opportunity at home to have a big celebration and be up by 2 scores.
Oh, I like it. Because he has 5 touchdowns this season, and you're saying 4 of them are at home?
Yeah, 4 of them are at home.
And this is the first time they were up 2 scores.
Well, they asked him about it yesterday. He claimed he bought them on his way to the stadium yesterday.
That is BS.
I love him. I was never really a huge Michael Thomas fan, but now he's on my
now it's okay.
He's on my list.
But isn't this how it works with these receivers? Like, this is now what's going to make him – maybe go to that next level. He'll probably get endorsements.
Stop with the he'll get endorsements.
No, he will, because more people
will
know his name.
You don't think T-Mobile or Verizon or somebody's going to give him a buzz?
Some gigantic $5,000 ad buy?
I bet he'll do better than that. Yes, he will.
I think you're
Ross
wrong on this, Dale.
Right.
He's
going to
get
will.
A big deal. This is what this
he's
is what's
doing
on
iPhones.
Twitter.
He's going to be doing iPhones.
We so overestimate the commercial money that these guys make.
All right, even if he doesn't get a direct endorsement, he's going to make
money off
of this.
It's pretty good. It's anything just from that he wouldn't have gotten if he didn't do that.
What's the fine from the league on the 15-yard unsportsmanlike? I don't even know what it is.
I don't know either.
He won't make it. He won't make up the fine money.
I bet he does. I bet he absolutely does.
Love that. Oh, he'll get big endorsements now. Why?
Because he's the guy that was on the phone. So there's a direct connection there.
You think Joe Horn got any endorsement money when he did the exact same thing?
He might have.
He
also a different time. He might have. Who knows? I didn't watch all the commercials down in New Orleans. Maybe he was doing something down there. Michael Thomas is also a better player than Joe Horn. So he's got more of a chance of getting somebody behind him.
Let's get back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Bill's on the cell. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on?
I think I got a dumb question, but I want to tell you and make sure.
Perfect show for it. What do you have?
I was wondering, someone like Gronk, Bob Kraft obviously has more money than I'll ever even see. What happens if he just, like, gives Gronk money after the season? I know it's not right. It's going against the cap and everything, but
which is why you can't do it.
Yeah, you can't do it. It would be. It'd be like a cap violation.
They'd end up losing a first-round draft pick or something.
Yeah, you can't do that, at least publicly.
If he had him do work around his house and just gave him $5. You know what I mean?
Have him do some
Come
chores.
Come on, Bill.
Just mow the lawn once for $600,000. Clean the pool.
It was $5.5 million, but...
That's what he was looking for. Well, he cleaned the pool a few times. Every last of the summer.
Yeah, Bill, those would be obvious attempts to subjugate the salary cap,
and that's why
they would get clobbered for.
That's why there's been some question around here about TB12 being right, the facility being here, and wondering, all right, does Brady pay rent, or Brady and Guerrero, do they pay? What's going on? Because if they don't,
yes, they do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the answer you're going to get, and that's what they're supposed to do. But you wonder with some of that stuff.
Nonstop wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Time to talk to New England Patriots running back and one of the team captains, James White. James is brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, James, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing great, thank you. Pretty impressive win last night for your team. 31 points, despite getting stopped on 4th and 1 at the goal line. Overall, how did you assess the offensive performance?
I think we started off fast, scoring the first drive, and then we kind of failed out a little bit in the middle of the game, but eventually got it back going. Defense got us a huge turnover at the start of the fourth quarter, and I think that gave us that momentum.
On the flea flicker, I don't think I've ever seen a running back hold on to the ball as long as you did. Was that sort of a new wrinkle to the flea flicker to really make the defense think that you were going to carry it there?
No, yeah, just gotta sell it, throw the defense up, and give a chance for the receivers to get open, and makes it easier for a foul.
Do you guys get excited when you've got trick plays that Josh is pulling out of the playbook? I'm sure these are all things that you've worked on, but that and the double pass with Julian involved, do you guys like when you see that stuff show up in the game plan?
You just got to make it work. Do it in practice, and just got to make it happen in the game, and it worked out perfectly. Coach McDaniels called it at the perfect time, and it was a huge play for us.
I mean, when you guys started all the way back at training camp, you had Rex Burkhead and Sony Michel and Jeremy Hill, and it looks like it was going to be a pretty crowded backfield. And now the last couple of weeks, Cordero Patterson has been getting double-digit carries. How do you think he's looked these last two games, specifically last night in the first half, running the ball?
He's running hard. He's a big, strong, fast guy, and he can score every time he touches the football. And he's been getting better and better each week with it, and create a lot of big plays for us, so he's doing really well.
One of the strengths, I think, of your game, and you've got a lot of them, but one of them is your ability to chip guys and take care of blockers and still get out in the pass pattern. On the sack that occurred when number 44 got to Brady, I saw the look on your face. Did you were you supposed to have him? Did he take a different route than what you were expecting?
Yeah, I was supposed to have him. He just delayed his blitz a little bit and timed it up perfectly. I just got to sit in there and wait on him, not be too fast to get out.
How soon did you know that Sony Michel and Gronk weren't going to play? Was that something that even on Friday you guys knew, or was it did it come down to an hour or two before the game started?
Yeah, I don't know how that stuff works and whatnot. Just practice hard, and no matter who's out there, you got to find a way to win. And I mean, each week, maybe somebody that may not play, so you got to be ready to go no matter who's playing and who's not. And thank God I'm willing to step up another guy's game plan.
Six wins in a row led to a victory Monday. Congratulations on the decision yesterday. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, James. James White joining us as I get the feeling.
Yeah, what's your feeling?
If he was a terrible player, he'd be a great captain on this team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear, you know, that they love everything about him. He's not a terrible player.
No, he's not at all.
I think he's the best receiving running back in the NFL.
He's up there.
He says all the right things. He does.
He does.
He does all the stuff that they want him to do.
And I think he was calling for Michael Thomas's flip phone.
I think not.
You don't think so? Suggest worse?
That might not work.
I think it might be that phone. So he's on pace for, I mean, close to what, 20 touchdowns this season?
Yes.
Or like right around there? I mean, I think he's got 10 through 9 games, so maybe just off of that. But still, I mean, this guy is a touchdown machine. And, you know, again, for a running back, because some of the other great pass-catching running backs in the league – you know, also run the ball a ton. Like, he is one of the, more of a defined skill set for him. And it's interesting because coming from Wisconsin, those guys just ran the ball a ton. And it wasn't until his senior year that they started to throw to him a little bit more. And then now that's what he's developed into. And he's one of the best guys at it in the league. And every single week, he seems to be, you know, getting in the end zone. I don't know if you saw the tweet going on. I think it was Ross Tucker. It's actually pretty interesting. You know, for college football fans, but also for NFL fans, he was saying there was these two images from a couple years ago in college. One was before a Georgia game. One was before a Wisconsin game. And it was the back of Todd Gurley, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, all his running backs together on the same team. And then the other one was Melvin Gordon, Corey Clement, and James White for Wisconsin. And they're saying six of the 30 or 32 best running backs in the league were on those two college teams, like at one given time.
Yikes.
And now and the Patriots have one of each, which is I also thought was pretty cool.
I was going back and forth last night, text messages with one of my relatives about why Bill Belichick didn't have the camouflage stuff on that all the other coaches were wearing. Dan Wetzel has written about it today on Yahoo Sports about, you know, why Belichick doesn't wear this stuff. And one of the things he says, he said, listen, let's get one thing out of the way here. Bill Belichick is probably, you know, the most pro U.S. military guy. Yeah. He said, let's start with one undeniable fact. Belichick is extremely pro-military. Grew up in Annapolis. His father, Steve, an assistant coach at the U.S. Naval Academy. His heroes and peers, sailors or children of sailors, has a long history of individual outreach to soldiers and their family. A serious military history buff. He did have a pin on.
Yes.
He actually opened his post-game press conference talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
The players had the stickers on the backs of their helmets. He just, he is not a member of the NFL Coaches Association. He doesn't care what you think.
That is definitely true.
It has cost him, reportedly, lots of money over the years. He's not in Madden football.
There's some generic coach coaching
the Patriots.
Some schlep. Yeah, he's not in Madden. He's never in the picture when they do. Is it during
the
combine
coaches,
or during the meet? No, it's during
the GM meetings.
He's never in
the picture. And usually it's guys like Andy Reid in a big ass Hawaiian shirt and stuff,
right.
And he's just not there.
No, you never see him in there. And so, yeah, that's just his own thing. But, yeah, I hope nobody's suggesting that because he wasn't wearing camo.
Well, people were wondering what was going on.
I feel like that's happened before, though, right?
Oh,
like,
there's been
times where it's like, he's not, of all guys, why is he not? It's like, well, like, he's got his reasons.
Wetzel writes, according to multiple Patriots and Belichick sources through the years, it's cost him easy money antagonized the league that has jumped of late to investigate him, and even was the impetus behind his signature hoodie sweatshirt. Mm. I mean, this was, he said, let's start with the money. NFL head coaches have their own organization, which sells their names and likenesses to various companies, among other things, including EA Sports, Madden, and all that stuff. 31 teams have their head coaches listed by name, not the Patriots. It doesn't say Bill Belichick. Madden says any coach.
Right.
It's been that way for years.
Yeah, not in there.
He doesn't care.
It's a shame.
He's not a member of the Coaches Association.
Huh.
Now, he's probably
Why
got,
not?
He's
Is it, probably got, like, pay dues or something?
Suppose, or like, no, I don't think he cares
like,
about that.
What's the deal?
Supposedly,
why is he not in there?
This began as a statement on his part about the whole circus atmosphere around the NFL. And, and you know, it just there were things that he was comfortable, you know, lending his name and likeness to. And
interesting.
The Coaches Association isn't one of them.
So the best coach isn't in the Coaches Association. Nice.
And
nice association
and
you got there.
And doesn't wear what everybody else wears.
No, he does not.
And Wetzel writes, then there's the legend of the hoodie. According to sources through the years, after Reebok inked a reported $250 million deal as the official outfitter of the NFL in the early 2000s, one of the tenets of the contract was that coaches would wear their gear.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick rejected the concept on principle, arguing that some NFL executive in New York shouldn't be telling grown men how to dress.
Well, that is fair.
He's a coach, not a fashion model after all. The whole thing felt ridiculous.
But they do tell the players how to dress.
He says that didn't mean he could ignore it forever. So when presented with all of the acceptable items to wear, Belichick purposefully chose what he believed was the least fashionable choice, the humble gray hoodie.
Which he cut
he
the
soon even
off of.
Chopped the sleeves off it.
What a psychopath.
Even with crooked and sloppy cuts, perhaps in an effort to make it less attractive.
Oh, my God.
He just decided, I'm not going to be a part of this stuff.
But, like, does he understand that the players are, though? Like, the players get fined if their shirt's untucked, or the players get fined if their socks don't match, or the players get fined if they don't wear certain cleats. So does he think he's above that, I guess?
He thinks that you cannot.
I know, but they do, though.
You cannot tell me what to do.
But they do. Like, they tell all these other guys what to do. They tell the players what to do. It's just kind of, it's always kind of odd.
My brother-in-law, who, you know, was in the military himself, his son was in the military, he's very patriotic, he just said, you know, why doesn't he wear this stuff? And I said, he just won't.
Yeah.
Every other coach you saw on the sideline had on
now, if you told
this
him,
year's camo
just
hoodie
him
thing.
Stubborn. So if you told him not to wear it, he would. But like, Bill,
maybe.
Promise me on Sunday you don't wear the camo. He's like, I'm wearing a camo. I'm like, all right, there you go. Fine. It's bizarre.
Nobody's going to tell him what to do.
Did Matt Patricia join the Coaches Association?
Yes. 31 coaches are in the Coaches Association.
So he's in it. Interesting. How about him getting smoked? The week he's hey, why don't you sit up and respect the process? Hey, why don't you win a game?
Did
why don't
see,
you go out there
did
and play
Did you see
better?
The sports page of the Detroit Free Press?
What'd they say?
They slapped him around.
Oh, he's gonna
they
be,
trolled him hard yesterday.
He's not going to last there. No chance.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Trey Flowers goes through a block and a double-team block and gets the pressure on Rodgers. This guy has become one of the real forces rushing the passer in the NFL and huge as far as this Patriots defense is concerned that really doesn't have that true flashy rusher. That guy on this team is Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers getting some love from Chris Collinsworth last night on Sunday Night Football. Trey joins us right now, brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing. Trey, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
We're doing good. Great, thank you. Getting some love from the NBC crew last night. Pro Football Focus had you graded out last week as the highest graded pressure on the quarterback defensive lineman in the NFL. Are folks starting to realize what you're doing here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, all that, you know, it's cool just to, you know, get a little notoriety, but, you know, well, I do it for just, you know, my teammates and winning. So, you know, all that, you know, the extra stuff and the number crunching and things like that, the notice, you know, a recognition, you know, it's cool. But, you know, I'm really just about winning, about helping my team win. So,
pretty good in a contract year, too, right? Yeah. I mean, you don't need to comment on that.
No.
How tough is it? I mean, everybody talks about how great Aaron Rodgers is, but we just sit and watch him. You have to go up against him, a guy that you probably can't rush him in a traditional way because he can pick up a first down with his legs. He can. He also throws really well on the run. So what kind of challenges going into to facing a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a great quarterback. You know, with the ball in his hand, just being able to elude the rushes, like you said, throw the ball on the run, scramble outside the pocket, you know, be very effective that way. So just being able to kind of contain him, but also be aggressive in a sense, you know, kind of get a little poke in him, into his face and things like that, have him, you know, uncomfortable in the pocket, but also being able to contain him. So I think, you know, we did an all right job just kind of, you know, playing off each other. You know, one guy gets vertical, another guy ready to wrap around, cover for the other guy. So, you know, we were playing it aggressive but also conscious.
One of the things NBC was really focused on last night with you was your hand work in tight going against the offensive line. Has that been a focus for your game here, especially going into this year?
Yeah, you know, it was a skill that just, you know, kind of developed over time. You know, me just understanding that, you know, every offensive lineman probably got 50, 60 pounds on me. So, you know, if I let them grab me, you know, it's kind of, you know, that's not an advantage of mine. So, you know, just being able to keep their hands off of you know, use my quickness, my long arms and things like that to just kind of keep that extension, not letting them be able to grab me. I think, you know, that's a part of my game that, you know, I'm going to continue to try to improve.
Do you think that was the best the defense has played all season for you guys?
Yeah, I think we came a long way. Just, you know, we also know what we can do better and know how we can, you know, how we can improve. So, you know, I think we're doing a good job just continuing to get better each and every week, understanding the focus points of the game plan, the goals, and you know, we're out there executing the game plan well. And I think last night was just a good test for us, you know, going against a great offense and a great quarterback and such that got many weapons and things. So, you know, we played together as a team. You know, we executed the game plan well. So.
Congratulations on the win last night. You got yourself a victory Monday today. We'll talk to you again next week.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Trey.
Thanks, Trey.
Trey Flowers joining us. And, boy, they were really giving Trey the love last
night.
He's
going to get paid. I hope it's here. But he is definitely, when you look around the league, and maybe the sack numbers aren't what some of the other guys are in the league. Like, there are some that just they really pile them up. But as far as all these different statistics that outside of that, that, you know, talking about pass rushers and just how you know, impactful these guys are, he's right there at the top. And he's young. I mean, he's finishing up his rookie contract, so he's going to get a lot of money. I hope it's here. He has fit in perfectly. He's been really good for him. I have a question. We have Ninkovich coming up at noon, but I have a question for you. We were talking about Belichick before. Belichick had, I thought, an interesting decision that he kind of, I guess, made at the end of the first half. So Aaron Rodgers has that fumble out of bounds, mm-hmm. but then they have the ball. The Patriots have all three of their timeouts
15
left.
Seconds.
No, I think it was four. If they burned the timeout, it would have been like 45 seconds.
Okay.
And then they let it go all the way down. Then they punted it, and then they got the ball with 15 seconds. And then they just took a knee. And
I didn't understand
done.
why Green Bay didn't let the clock keep running.
Well, I don't understand why the Patriots. Why do you think they didn't call timeout? I thought they could have gotten the ball back with almost a minute, and they would have had two more timeouts still remaining. You couldn't have gone down and gotten a field goal. That was very passive of them. I thought they. Now I know they had the 17-10 lead. But that was my biggest kind of question for Belichick, because there was the other one where Josh Gordon made almost another highlight reel catch on the sideline that they did not challenge. There was one angle of it where it looked like he got the second foot in. His heel was over the out-of-bounds line, but it looked like his toe was in. But that one, I guess he talked about it at his conference call today, and he said that they thought the refs got the call right on the field. But that was so not aggressive at the end of the second half or at the end of the second quarter. I don't know why they were just like – they were like ready for halftime. I was like, what do you – you had an opportunity here to get the ball back.
It didn't bother me as much. I was actually more dumbfounded by Mike McCarthy punting it away when he did. You could have bled the clock down to like 1 second before you punted it. And they didn't anyway. They kicked it away with like 20 seconds left or something. So I didn't understand why McCarthy punted it when he did. I kind of thought that Brady was just going to take the knee there and get off. And you know, they had the lead. Things were going fine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that you want to make sure you still have the seven-point lead, but I thought it was weird. So it was third and one with 102 left, and that's when he fumbled out of bounds at the 43.
Yep.
So then the clock was running at that point. It was 40-something seconds, I believe. They could have called timeout. They don't. So then they end up punting it away at 21 seconds. Patriots get the ball at 15, and then just a knee, and then it's halftime. But it's like both teams were kind of done with it. I was like, they could have gotten the ball.
It was cold, Keith. They wanted to warm up.
I guess so, but the Patriots...
Get a nice orange.
Patriots...
Have a sit.
They had all three timeouts left. Like, that just seems very odd. That seems like what another team would do against the Patriots, not what the Patriots would do, especially at home. That maybe he didn't like how the offense was playing at that point, or maybe he was afraid. I don't know what it was, but that seemed very odd. I don't know if it had anything to do with Aaron Rodgers or what it was.
Let's go to Mark in Medford real quick. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, doing great.
I got a couple of questions for you. The first one, the guy that got ejected from the game last night, was it solely because of that slap across the face mask?
Yes.
That's all we saw, yeah.
Well, because supposedly Al Riveron in the NFL offices verified the ejection for the slap. And
yeah, terrible.
Okay, because we've seen a lot worse in the NFL that players haven't got ejected for.
Correct.
Just saying. And also, Gronkowski. Now, I know he's hurting. But do you feel like there's something else there? Is it almost like, I don't know how to say it, like, I'll just come out and say, like, he really doesn't care anymore? Or what is it? And also, is Halak starting tonight?
Halak is not starting tonight. Tuukka Rask is.
I think Gronk
we'll
cares.
We'll work our way back.
I still think Gronk cares. I don't know how you can make the leap that he doesn't.
I think the press conference last week showed how much this is bothering him.
I think his back and his ankle. We've heard both. I think they're both bothering him. And so this was the guy that was thinking about retirement a year ago, and now he's halfway through the season. He knows that his incentives he's not going to hit, so he's leaving money out there that he could have achieved if he was healthy. And he doesn't feel right, and he's got another half of the season to go. Yeah, I don't think he doesn't, you know, want to win and all this other stuff. I think he's just not healthy, and he probably is wondering, all right, when am I ever going to be healthy? Like, because last year, maybe he convinced himself that, you know what? Hey, the new pliable me is going to be able to stay on the field a little bit more. And, you know, he got a concussion in the playoffs, and he probably wouldn't have played if the game was a week sooner, but he had the time off, and he was able to return for the Super Bowl. But he was pretty healthy for the most part last year, and now he's already dealing with a couple of different things. I think that's just what's bothering him.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.